We continue our study through the life of Joseph, and we come to a pinnacle now in his life. We've looked at how Joseph has gone down into trial and suffering, and how he's experienced things that he would have never scripted for his life, and things have been tough. And we've seen how he's remained faithful to God, and God has remained faithful to him. But now we come to the stage in the story of Joseph's life where things change for the good in his life, I guess, for things in our perspective, I guess, but things start to go well for Joseph. He starts to prosper where he finds himself and experiences again the goodness of God in this way. So let's read chapter 41 of Genesis, and we'll begin reading at verse 41. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and men shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift a hand or a foot in all of Egypt." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zephanath-Paneah and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentiful. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, 2 sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn son Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was no food. And there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was so severe in all the world. Just so far this evening. John Rockefeller's life was a rags-to-riches story. He went from a mere peasant boy with not much to show to the wealthiest person not only in America but in the whole world. He would be the equivalent today of a Bill Gates with regards to his success, his wealth, his fame, even his power. But at the end of his life, John Rockefeller bemoaned, "I have made my millions. I have become famous. I have everything I need at my disposal. But they have not brought me happiness." They have not brought me happiness. What very sad words from a man that was incredibly gifted by God and blessed by God. John Rockefeller's experience is one that has been and is being experienced by many, many people today. Many people suddenly rising out of poverty or rising from trials and suffering. And then finding that those promises of success, promises of prosperity, promises of fame are just empty promises at the end, and that they don't fill one's life. Well, we find another rags to riches story in the life of Joseph. He went from being a mere shepherd boy, being abandoned by his family, becoming a lowly slave in Egypt, ending up as a prison inmate for many years, to suddenly gracing the throne of the most powerful empire of the day, with everything he could ask for, everything he could imagine or dream about at his fingertips. Life had suddenly become good for Joseph. Joseph was in the pit of a dungeon, forgotten and still a slave. But when he woke up one morning, that would all change. And before the day was out, verse 41 tells us he was put in charge of the whole land of Egypt. We go on to read that in verse 42, we are told that Pharaoh gives Joseph a signet ring. Now, a signet ring was represented power and authority, usually worn by the king himself or Pharaoh of the day. He could do as much as he likes with the signet ring, because the signet ring represented authority and power over all the people of the land. He could make statutes and laws. A signet ring was also like a royal credit card. He could buy anything he dreamed of and charge it to the royal coffers with Pharaoh's blessing. Joseph had it all. Included in verse 42, we read that Joseph was given the finest branded wardrobe to wear. Nike, Jeep, Armani suits, Billabong, Quicksilver. You name it, Joseph had it in his wardrobe. Including in all these branded items was the accessories that went with it. The Oakley shades, the gold chain around his neck. Only the super wealthy or the very prominent in Joseph's day got to wear gold around their neck. And Joseph had it. He had it all. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 43 tells us that Joseph was given a chariot limousine to drive in. And get this, with his own blue light brigade, making sure that everybody knew that they had to make way because a very prominent person was coming through. Wouldn't you like your own personal blue light brigade? So much for those traffic jams that we get to experience, eh? Well, Joseph had it. Joseph had everything. He was in charge of everything. Life had become so different for him compared to the struggles and the trials he had faced over the last 13 years. Abandoned, forgotten, imprisoned. Wow, life had changed for the better. He was experiencing the good life now. Verse 44 tells us that Joseph was given so much power that he only answered to Pharaoh, but that the entire nation of Egypt was subject to Joseph. He could tell anybody what to do when he wanted them to do it. And of course, with such a position of honor and authority in Egypt, Joseph needed an Egyptian name, not some foreign Hebrew name that he carried. And so Pharaoh named him Zaphnath-Paneah. Can you get your tongue around that? Zaphnath-Paneah? I mean, it even sounds Lani, doesn't it? Zaphnath-Paneah. Pharaoh gave Joseph that name because it had a special meaning for Pharaoh. Don't know if you remember the story, but Joseph had interpreted Pharaoh's dreams that were troubling him. And all the while he was doing that, he was giving credit to God, his God, that was speaking through him. And so when Pharaoh names Joseph Zaphnath-Paneah, the name means God speaks and lives. What a testimony. What a testimony to Joseph's God. What a testimony in Pharaoh's life, because every time he called Joseph, every time he looked at Joseph, he saw Zaphnath-Paneah. God lives. God speaks. Joseph's prosperous life didn't end there. He was given the most beautiful bride in all of Egypt, Aseneth, who was the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On. Not Potiphar, his slave master, the captain of the guard, but a different Potiphar in Egypt. Everything Joseph was deprived of in those young years of his life. Remember, he was only 30 years old when he became the second in charge of Egypt. So all those youthful years, 13, 14 of them, it's predicted to be stuck in a prison, stuck as a slave, deprived of enjoying those good energetic years of his life. They were repaid to him in a matter of moments. All because he interpreted some dreams to the most powerful man in the day. By the way, I'm running some dream interpretation classes this week, so if you're keen, let me know. No, Joseph had it all. He had become what God had revealed to him many years earlier. In those dreams as a young boy, when God showed him that he was going to rise up and be a ruler one day, Joseph held on to those dreams through the trials and sufferings, and God had brought that to fruition in his life. From the struggles and trials of suffering to the good life in a matter of moments, suddenly just changed like that. But what about Joseph? What about now? What about all this wealth and status and power that was at his fingertips? Would Joseph end up like John Rockefeller and say, man, it's all a bunch of empty promises. I find no happiness in it. I find no joy. I find no purpose in all that I've got. How would Joseph handle success and prosperity? Well, we first of all see that Joseph, in the midst of his prosperity, doesn't forget to recognize that everything he has is from the gracious hand of God. Say that again. Everything that Joseph has, he doesn't fail to recognize that it all comes from God's gracious hand to him. We see this as we read in verse 50 and verse 51, that just before the 7 years of abundance, the 7 years that God was going to bless Egypt so that they could store their produce for the 7 years of famine to come, during those fine 7 years, Joseph's wife bore him 2 sons. And he gives them the name, first of all, to his firstborn son, Manasseh, because it means, it is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. Now, this doesn't mean that Joseph had deleted from his memory all the struggles that he went through and all his family that had abandoned him and sold him into slavery. But what it does mean is that he recognizes God's help to lay aside all those things that were causing so much hurt in his life. All those things that made him question the purpose of God's plans in his life for so long. He could put aside those things and not feel embittered and not feel a sense of entitlement anymore. You see, God, through the prosperity, through his new position, was able to heal those wounds, and he was able to find peace with what had happened throughout his life. God is very much with Joseph in the palace, just as he was very much with Joseph in that prison cell. His other son he names Ephraim because it means, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Here Joseph recognizes that God had caused what was meant to have no good in his life. Being sold into slavery, what good was there to come out of that? But God turned it into good for Joseph's life. We sang about it just now. God takes the things that happen in our lives and he turns it out for our good and for his glory. And here in Egypt, this place of oppression, this place of slavery, this place of imprisonment for Joseph, suddenly blossomed into experiencing God's incredible blessing and goodness on his life. And so Joseph, instead of focusing on making up for lost time, making sure that he enjoyed all the pleasures that he missed out on all those years in prison, instead of doing all that and forgetting about God's plans and purposes for his life, recognizes God has been the source of his rise to power, his rise to prosperity. God has been faithful in his life through all the difficulties and through all the good times as well. His relationship with his God has not been affected at all by his rise to fame, by his rise to power, by his rise to wealth. For he recognizes that just as God was with him in the pit of prison, he's with him in the palace with all this wealth and fame, because God has got a purpose for his life. And so Joseph doesn't forget about his God amidst the wealth and the fame and the prosperity that he enjoys now. Secondly, we see that Joseph's rise to fame, success, and prosperity has not blinded him to what God wants of his life. His rise to the success and fame has not blinded him to see what God is doing through his life and wants to accomplish through his life. God's promotion of Joseph came for his plan for Joseph to be a savior for the people of Egypt. Not only for the people of Egypt, but for the whole world. And so within all the pomp and ceremony of his rise to fame, Joseph sets about being faithful to what God has revealed to him about his purpose for his life. Remember the dreams Pharaoh had told Joseph and asked Joseph to interpret? 7 years of great abundance, followed by 7 years of great famine. Remember, Joseph responded to Pharaoh's dreams by telling Pharaoh how he should respond to God's revelation of what was going to happen, which saw Joseph rise to this position of prominence. Joseph knew what God was going to do. He didn't have blinkers on now with all this money, with all this power, with all this possessions that he had now. No, he was very much aware of God's plan and purpose for his life. Joseph knew that God gave him success and prosperity. Joseph knew that God gave him this power and honor and prestige and status for a purpose to be fulfilled in his life. And we read, during those years of plentiful, what did Joseph do? He didn't go cruising around in his chariot with the Blue Light Brigade all over the place saying, "Look at me, look at me." No, he took what he was blessed with, and he went about fulfilling God's plan in his life. He collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance, and he stored it in cities just as God had revealed to him. In fact, we read there that he stored so much food because the years were so abundant for Egypt that eventually he stopped calculating what he needed for the 7 years of famine because it was just so much. We also see that Joseph was not blinded by his success in fulfilling God's plans for his life. Because after the 7 years of abundance, when he had so much grain, more than he knew what to do with, when he had the opportunity to not only use this fame for his own personal well-being and for Egypt, but to put away for his retirement and make sure that he was going to live wealthy for the rest of his life, he chose to bless others with his wealth. When there was no food in Egypt at all, no food in the known world because the famine that God had sent affected all the people, and there was this need of food, There was this need of blessing to come. Joseph stood as God's blessing to the people. And we read that Egyptians came from everywhere to buy grain from Joseph. And Joseph shared his success. Joseph shared God's abundance with him, with all the people of Egypt and all the known world. Joseph allowed his fame and prosperity to be used by God to bless others, because Joseph did not allow his wealth and success to go to his head, to forget about God, and to blind him of God's purposes in his life. Friends, I don't see Joseph in the same boat as John Rockefeller, who said that in his success and prosperity, happiness could not be found. No, I see in Joseph's life great happiness, great joy, as he takes what has been given to him and allow God to use it to bless others. Just as God had promised Abraham that his family would be blessed and would be a blessing to the nations, Joseph was a picture of that promise being fulfilled, as he too was blessed and was able to be a blessing to others. Joseph handled the poverty and the trials of his life by not becoming discouraged. And yet we read here he handles the prosperity of his life by not disqualifying himself from God's blessing. We see Joseph letting the prosperity that he enjoyed now not going to his head, but rather going to his heart. For in his heart is where God was enthroned. In his heart was where he knew God provided true happiness. It would be in his heart that he would find and experience what God had planned and purposed for his life. Joseph didn't allow sudden success, sudden fame, sudden power to go into his head, where he would forget about God and he would be blinded from God's purposes. But he allowed God's blessing on his life to be rooted in his heart. And so his prosperity was governed by God. There's a story of a Christian man who lived in a small village in a remote area in Africa. He considered himself to be a wealthy man in this village because he received about 100 rand a month. That was his wages. That was his salary for him and his wife and his six children. He noticed how there were many children in his village who were going blind because of the lack of hygiene in the village. He also discovered that this infection could be treated and prevented with a medicine that it only cost 5 rand. And so he began to pray one day and ask God to send rich people to his village so that they'll be able to sponsor this medicine so that these little children would not go blind. But no one came. For years, no one came to this little village. He eventually felt as if the Lord was telling him that he should do something about it and getting the medicine for these children so that they wouldn't go blind. But he couldn't see himself doing that because of just a little bit of amount of money that he received each month. He still had to feed his children. He still had to look after his wife. How could he give 5 rand to buy medicine for these children? Yet he did consider himself one of the wealthier men in his village. And so after praying much with his family, they decided to give 5 rand per month to purchase medicine for one child. After 7 years, they had helped some 84 children from going blind in their village, after still living off 100 rand a month. He testifies that being able to be a blessing to others with what God has blessed him brought so much joy and satisfaction to his life that even though times got tough, even though things got more expensive, and even though his salary stayed the same, 100 rand a month for the next 7 years, there was incredible joy that he experienced in being able to be used by God to be a blessing to others. Friends, the challenge for us this evening is, what has God blessed us with? What has God raised us up for? Maybe God has given you a place of prominence in the workplace. Maybe God has given you a place of prominence in the business world. Or maybe he has given you a successful business. Maybe you are at school or studying. God has given you incredible wisdom and knowledge. Maybe God has given you connections with people that are able to help bless others. What has God made you prosperous with in your life? And how are you using that to enable God to bless others through your life? Will you allow what God has blessed you with, your prosperity, your wealth, your fame, whatever it might be, will you allow that to go to your heart where God reigns, where God wants to take what he's given you and use it to bless others and to show them who he is? God calls us and gives us success and prosperity in this life so that we can use it to be used by him. Think about that for a moment. God calls us and gives us success and prosperity, blessings and wealth, so that we can use it to be used by him. Will you use what God has given you today, just like Joseph did in his life? Let's pray together.